Hey there, welcome to the latest episode of Newey Tech People's Community Spotlight. This episode, we're talking to Liam Manning, who's the COO of Safi Engineering. Safi hosts a bunch of great events, and they have a lot in the pipeline, so we covered a lot. Hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the Community Spotlight, Liam from Safi. How you going, man?
Good, mate. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no dramas. How have you found the whole COVID situation over the past 4 months? How have you guys been traveling?
I know this topic has been so over talked about. I understand but it is such a bizarre time, right? So I could never have predicted it. Obviously, I was in Germany just before this all kicked off. And so when I left Germany in February, I think we had
good timing.
Yeah, very good timing. I think I had 15 cases in Munich and I was in Northern Germany. And then just a month or two later, I had 10,000 or something and I would have still been over there. So I timed it impeccably. But yeah, super weird time to be alive, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. And I guess we've got the honor of being the first Community Spotlight back in person.
So yes.
We're finally away from the clutches of Zoom and,
for sure,
and questionable recording quality and internet connectivity issues. Where we're finally in a semi-controlled environment, which is going to do wonders for the quality. To some extent.
See, as an extrovert, I think I need that people-to-people, right? It's like when you got that screen there, there's such a big disconnect. Like, I know you're seeing that individual there, but you're not picking up on the things and feel like you can't get your point across as well.
I feel like Zoom as well, you've got that little image of yourself. And if you think that you're making a stupid face or if you think you look a bit off, you're immediately aware of it. And you're immediately trying to resolve that issue.
Yep.
And it means you don't pay the best attention to the person that you're actually talking to.
No.
It's
you can tell when somebody's not listening to you either.
100%.
Because you know, and the strange thing about, right, when you do Zoom for so long, you start understanding where their eyes are looking.
Yeah.
And you know that they're looking at that little picture.
They're in like the top right corner and you can tell they're not looking at you anymore. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway. We digress.
What a
great on-topic start. So, Safi, what is Safi? What do you do there? What's the deal?
Yeah, great. So, Safi is a software engineering company in Lambton. And so, we specialize in what we like to call ground-to-cloud software solutions. So, basically, taking data from the real world and then communicating it to a user anywhere in the world. So, you know, basically IoT, which is a bit of a buzz term, right? But just basically anything about recording data and then making it available to a user. So, a lot of custom software development, systems integration, things along those lines. But we've got like a really diverse team. So, we've got software engineers, electrical engineers, but we've also got computer scientists and developers. So, we're in the really fortunate sort of space where we can cater for the entire development process from the sourcing and programming of hardware to communicating that to a user interface. And so, it's good. You don't really have to involve other parties, right? It's kind of just we do it all in-house, which has been really good.
Yeah, you're sort of an all-inclusive managed solution.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Awesome. And it's probably worth mentioning as well, if any of this sounds familiar, it's because we had Cam Owen on before. He's the fearless leader of Safi.
Yep.
That was episode 14 of Newey Tech People. So, if you haven't had a look at that, I would urge you to do so because that was a good episode.
Yeah, it was a good episode. He was mentioning the early days of Cyphlinks, which I think we'll talk about a little bit later. Yep,
100%. 100%. Now, Community Spotlight, obviously where we focus on, I guess, the meetup component, the not-for-profit component, that sort of part of the Newcastle tech community. Safi has been hosting Blast Furnace for eons now.
It's been a while.
It's not exactly the new kid on the block at this point.
No, it's gone by so quickly though.
Yeah. Well, you get started. You have that first however many months of just trying to make it a decently fleshed out event where you're comfortable with it. And then you're basically a year in.
Yeah.
So, for the people that don't know, Blast Furnace, what's the deal?
So, Blast Furnace is a live interactive meetup that we run every second Thursday of the month. And it's targeted at programmers of all levels. So, individuals who are wanting to upskill or just have a general interest in tech. And each month, we do a different topic. So, last month's Blast Furnace, we actually did how to send IoT alerts using the Telstra API, which is actually a really interesting one. It sounds like a little bit full on, but because of the group that we have on each of our meetups, it's sort of catered to each individual. So when, if somebody's slipping behind, you know, people come together and help out, or if somebody's miles ahead, you know, they tend to help the group up and things. So it's a really cool way for people to come in, socialize, learn a cool new skill. And it's both online and in person. Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, we've already sort of covered it's generally targeted towards programmers. I just want to, I want to clarify for the sake of, just because I know a lot of non-programmers, people that probably don't identify themselves as developers.
Yep.
It's a pretty open slather as far as who can attend, really.
Oh, for sure. It is honestly open to everybody. So we've had first time coders in there coming to different events, and they've had a great time. We've had really experienced people with 10, 15 years of experience. It kind of just shows you how broad, you know, programming is, right? So you can always be learning something new there. And it tends to be a really good mix, because you tend to have people with quite a lot of experience coming in, who can pick up the topics quite quickly. And then you've got these beginners coming in, and it's kind of like this mentoring relationship, right? And if you're learning the topic and then also teaching someone below, it really helps you solidify sort of what you're learning in there as well.
I've been to, I don't even know how many at this point.
Yeah, it's been quite
to
a
fair few.
And
it's always been really interesting to see the diversity of attendees.
It's, you know, good, right?
People bring their kids in and stuff. Like, it's
So we've had a couple of young kids there.
Yeah, you've got people, you know, that have been in the dev space for 10 years, 15 years. So it's really cool to see just the general attendance that it attracts. Just because a lot of meetups in Newcastle, especially, you know, you've got fairly niche audiences.
Yes.
And I guess there's kind of an assumption that for a lot of those meetups, you have some awareness of the topic. Blast Furnace is really one where it's pretty much assume no knowledge, come in, play around with the thing, pick up a bit of knowledge, have a bit of pizza.
Yep.
Away you go.
And we sort of like gauge it based upon the group that's there as well. So if we've got a group of really advanced programmers, right, we're going to step it up a little bit, offer them a bit of a challenge. But, you know, if we've got a good mix as well, that we kind of like the mix, right? So people are all helping one another.
There's
plenty of laughs there. Like, it is an interactive meetup, and we're learning something, but we want to make it engaging, right?
Yep.
So it's always a bit of fun. Yeah, like you said, there's pizza there, there's free drinks and things. We get a break in the middle. Everybody just hangs around, talks about whatever's on the agenda or on their minds for that day. Yeah, it's really fun. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. What have we got planned in the future? So, we've just done the Telstra IoT API stuff. What's next?
So, that's a great question. What we like to do is after each event, we'll have a chat with a few different people.
Yep.
And we'll find out, you know, what's something of interest. You know, sometimes there's a hot topic for that month.
Yep.
And then we'll jump on that. So we don't plan too far ahead to allow for flexibility. We find that works best. So the Telstra API one, we only figured out a few weeks ago when we were just, you know, searching a few things online. We're like, hang on a second, this would actually be a really cool one to do, you know? So it's kind of spur of the moment, but we take on feedback from our attendees and figure out what they're interested in, and then, yeah, cater for them. Like, what skills do you want to learn this month, right? Yeah.
Awesome.
So, if you follow the Blast Furnace pages, a shameless plug there. If you follow Blast Furnace on Instagram or something, or even Safi on LinkedIn, you'll actually be able to see when the next Blast Furnace is coming up. So, we announce it ahead of time, obviously, and then give a good overview of what we'll be learning. And yeah, it's obviously free to attend.
Yep.
So, you just come along. Yeah, it's good.
For sure. And you've also got the meetup page as well, where you can directly subscribe to the Blast Furnace meetup page.
Yep.
It sends you the events, and I'm pretty sure it's one click to mark yourself as attending and have it added to your calendar. So it's super low effort, super easy. So I mean that's how I've done it.
Yep.
I'd say it's a pretty easy way to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So obviously this past sort of 3-4 months, the meetup community had to adapt pretty quickly and pretty aggressively. What did that look like for Blast Furnace?
So, we tried to move solely online. So, we do stream our Blast Furnace as well and record them in case people want to go back and watch them later on. But we had to move pretty quickly. We knew we wanted to continue doing Blast Furnace. It's something that we're really passionate about at Safi. Obviously, we want to be involved in the community in whatever capacity we have at the time, and Blast Furnace is a really good way for us to do that. So, there was never any doubt that we'll continue running it, but we had to adapt pretty quickly to run online. And we had teething issues. with the streaming services, right? Trying to run it on there, there was some issues where they would crash on us and things. So obviously when you're trying to run something around peak times, right? And then there's always going to be tech problems. So
100%.
Yeah. So the first one was not ideal in our opinion. You know, we still got our point across. We felt like it went okay. We had some attendees. Obviously it was a bit hard to remind people that, you know, we're still running. So we put the word out there, but everybody's kind of confused about what's going on and that now it's online. Yeah. So that, it was a small transition. We just ran from within the office.
Mm-hmm.
And then tried to adapt to that, but with always of the view of as soon as the restrictions start getting lifted, we get back to Dashworks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I guess to that point, I'm 99% sure you were the first meetup to really move back to an on-prem option.
Yeah.
You know, in June even. So I don't think there's anyone else that's made that transition yet. We're in, you know, mid-July now or early to mid-July now. What was the push?
Well, I think we're the first tech meetup to come back. I know there's some meetups going around, like some little, like smaller ones. We just wanted to give the option. Mm. We wanted to give the option as long as it was compliant, obviously, with the COVID restrictions. We always have a lot of fun doing the Blast Furnace. We know that people get a lot more engaged when they're there in person. We also understand that there are restrictions that you've got to adhere to as well. So we weren't going to go back before we knew and we were confident that it was going to be safe, we were going to be compliant with the restrictions. But we always wanted to get back and offer that option. So we know that, you know, there's a lot of value in Blast Furnace in terms of learning new skills.
For sure.
So, but we know that some people are comfortable or prefer learning from their own home, which is why we continue to stream it. But, you know, talking to some of our attendees and stuff, there was a call for them, you know, like, when's Blast Furnace coming back? When's Blast Furnace? When can we have an in-person Blast Furnace again?
Yeah.
And so we were like, okay, what's the restrictions at the moment? What do we need to cater for? Mm. And then let's start it back up again. And then, yeah, see what happens.
For sure. For sure. And as far as restrictions are concerned, obviously that's a pretty dynamic moving picture, especially considering what's happening in Victoria. It's all a bit fluid.
Yeah.
As far as restrictions, what does that look like for a meetup at the moment? I assume you'd have capacity restrictions.
At the moment, it's still one person per 4 square meters.
Yep.
So we've had, you know, Dashworks has been really good helping us out there. We've got all the sanitation things around. So we've got like our hand sanitizer, stations everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we wipe down the tables and things. It's been really easy. So we've had to limit the meetups to 15 people.
Mm-hmm.
So the first meetup that we ran, because it was kind of fresh, we didn't really know until a couple of days that we could go back, but we're pretty determined to offer that option, that in-person option again, rather than just online. And so the turnout wasn't fantastic, obviously, but the online attendance really spiked for that month,
okay,
which was really good.
That's interesting.
So we had heaps of people join in, not just from Australia too, which was wild.
Okay.
We had quite a number of Americans in there. It was, I think, wow. It was like 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning for them.
Yeah.
And then they've jumped on and they're following us on there, and they followed us across because we had, we tried streaming on Reddit.
Yep.
And you only get a certain limited time, so you have to keep changing.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
so you have to kind of restart and refresh. And they followed us the whole way along. One person actually followed us across all 3 streaming services that we're running it on, just in case one fell over.
Wow.
So they were really engaged, which was amazing.
Unreal.
And then we're like, okay, you know, the turnout in person wasn't fantastic. We'll still offer the option again. The online attendance was great. Like, we were really blown away. I think we saw some of the views afterwards, and it was in the hundreds.
Like, awesome.
This is insane, yeah, right?
That's incredible.
People are really interested in about learning new skills in it, and it's not restricted to Australia. And so we ran the next meetup, obviously, that was last month, and the turnout was fantastic. Like, we had all of the attendee spots taken up. We had people on the waiting list, which was great, you know? So to us, that's echoing that people are ready to come out. As long as, you know, again, as long as they stay within the bounds of the restriction.
As long as everyone behaves.
Yeah, as long as everybody behaves, it's fine. We'll continue to run it as so, unless we're told otherwise. But I think people sort of wanted to see how the first one would go, test the waters a little bit.
Mm.
And now with this next one, we're like, oh, great, look at this.
Mm.
And then obviously we had that same attendance online as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has there been any sort of teachings or any sort of things that you've picked up during this, I guess the online to back to on-prem transition, has there been anything that you've picked up that you're just going to sort of keep carrying on, such as streaming on a few different services?
Yes. So the streaming we've found progressively more and more success with.
Mm-hmm.
And we love being able to store it there and save it, obviously, and just keep it free for the community to be able to access at any time. So if somebody's, you know, got a commitment, but they're really interested in, say, like last month's for the Telstra API, they can always go back, watch the video again, and then go through at home in their own time, essentially. So continuing to stream it is something that we want to continue to do. But yeah, I think that was the only major adaptation that we've had.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's fair. And it almost becomes, I mean, I draw parallels to university lectures where you've got the recording sort of sitting there and you know, you can refer back to it. And I dare say a lot of people would as they lead up to exam time. Obviously, you're not doing a blast furnace exam, but you have the ability to refer back to the material so you can pick it up and potentially refresh if you lose it over time. That's definitely a valuable resource.
It's good for people who are a little bit nervous about attending a blast furnace. Mm. You know, they can watch a previous one and see what it's like. So, we try to make a zero pressure environment. Again, catering for everybody in between. We want to foster the tech scene here in Newcastle. There's a lot of great developers out there.
For sure.
And there's a lot more people becoming more and more interested in development. And you've seen that now with COVID, right? So, COVID's really shut down the world, yeah? And we're all reliant on tech.
Mm.
And so, it's really pushed us ahead in terms of, well, if something like this happens again, right, we're going to have more developers, more programmers. Like, we can see a transition happening. And at Safi, we believe that programming is going to be the next blue-collar workforce.
100%.
Because everything's got some form of code in it nowadays. Mm. Like, it's impossible to get around it. Everything that's made just about is made by machines run by code, you know? So, if we started early like we have, fostering this sort of movement towards programming in the Newcastle area and then showing people, you know, that they can come along, sort of pick up a few skills, could be a good introductory if somebody's thinking about, oh, do I want to get into development? Do I want to get into programming? Just come along to a blast furnace, check it out, see what it's all about, right?
It's very much that toe in the water.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Yeah. No stress, toe in the water. It's free.
Yeah.
You know, it's every month. Can come as you like, stay as long as you like. You can leave as quickly as you want to. You know, we try and get people to stay as long, like to the end, obviously. But everybody's really relaxed and chilled there. It's good.
For sure. 100%. Yeah. I'm going to sort of throw a question at you that sort of forces you to take a stance here.
Okay.
So, here we go. So, meetup community is probably, you know, all the meetup organizers are probably considering going back to on-prem to some extent. Obviously, Blast Furnace was the first, and it sounds like there's been reasonable success, albeit, you know, people are a bit cagey, understandably.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to have a conversation with another meetup organizer and they ask you the question, should we go back to on-prem? What's your answer?
It's a great question. So, I obviously am horrifically underqualified to be able to answer that question on a health basis, right?
Yes.
I think it's very, it's a very personal question as well, depending, and I think it's based upon the attendees personally. So, I would say, you know, test the water, throw out a line to your attendees who have come to a lot of your events and be like, would you guys be open up to this, right? So, there's no point running it if it's only an in-person event, running it if nobody's going to turn up, right? Because they might be cagey.
Of course.
But we noticed with our attendees that they were calling for us to go back.
Yep.
As long as they've got the facilities and they adhere to the restrictions, I think that's really, really crucial and really important. We don't want another resurgence in New South Wales, right? We've seen what's happening in Victoria. You know, we don't want to follow that lead.
Mm.
As long as they've got the right facilities, I don't really see any issue with you know, delaying anymore.
Mm.
But I would say it's based on the attendees. Just ask them how they're feeling.
Yep.
Do a test one, see how it reacts.
Yep.
And then hopefully start it up, you know, again, provided, again, that it's adhering to the restrictions. I know I'm saying it over and over again, but I just want to get that point across. I don't want to be telling people, go out there, you know.
100 people.
Yeah, 100 people.
Let's go.
Yeah, get into a circle and start, you know. Start holding hands and things.
Yep.
Like,
Fair enough.
But I think it would be good to see the meetup community start coming back.
Yes.
There's some meetups that I'm missing that I want to get back to. And I'm like, when is this happening? But I think there is that apprehension because nobody wants to be liable, right? Yes. Or nobody wants to be going, oh, what if there's a breakout and it was at my event? All understandable. But if everybody's adhering, I think it should be fine.
Mm, absolutely. I guess stepping away from Blast Furnace a little bit, and my understanding is that Safi's looking at hosting a new event in the near future.
Yes.
Can you share a bit of info about that?
Bit exciting. So I have to take a step back and talk about originally what Blast Furnace was designed to do. So back in the day, Blast Furnace was originally, as you know, sort of half coding comp, half learning. So it was like we'd learn a topic and then we'd do a competition at the end. But naturally, it progressed more into a learning sort of sphere. And then everybody was kind of like, actually, can we have some more time on this topic? And so the natural progression was we would just do a meetup where we would learn about a new topic and that would be it. But we always had the intention of running a coder comp in Newcastle. It's always been something we've been really interested in doing. And so we've been flirting with the idea called the Coder Depot, which is it's going to be, again, a free monthly meetup where coders would come and compete with one another in certain coding challenges, right? And the idea would be we'd have maybe 10 to 15 seats and you could compete at home as well. And the top 15 would get seats each month.
Okay.
So the people who are in the top 15 of the score from the previous month would get to take the seats at the Coder Depot.
Cool.
And so I think it would be an awesome way, right, of getting the coding community out there excited, going head to head with one another to become, you know, Newcastle's Coder Depot champion and really show Newcastle, like, look at the talent that's out here at the moment, you know. Obviously, we're working to try and make sure that the coding challenges that we do are obviously going to be representative of sort of certain skills. There's a lot of considerations that we're still working through to figure out how we can make it, you know, fair and most importantly, fun. But I think a little's known about programming, right? And it's actually pretty cool. it's in everything, right? And I think it deserves a bit more of a spotlight. And so it'd be awesome to have in Newcastle, you know, the top 15 programmers for that month up there. And then everybody in the community gets to say, oh, who's in the top 15 this month, right? Like who's smashing it this week, this month, sorry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's Newcastle especially, there's always an element of we're doing legitimately quite impressive things
for sure
in Newcastle. Are they being publicized as best as they could be?
Probably not.
No, yeah. I don't think anyone would say we're the best at marketing sort of the achievements of the region. This is obviously at a fairly individual level. But the idea that someone who, you know, you can't easily make a claim of being the best developer in Newcastle.
No.
That's at the moment, a quite subjective contest.
For sure.
If you add a level of objectivity to it and you add a bit of a competitive element, you know, not everyone's going to be into a competitive element. I understand that. And I dare say you guys do as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But the idea that you can introduce that element for people that are interested in it and for people that potentially do want to prove themselves at that level. You know, for the purposes of bragging rights, for the purposes of marketing themselves as a good employment prospect, that sort of thing. It's an awesome opportunity.
Yeah. And awesome. I think it creates friendly rivalry, right? In the community, you know. So what were your scores last month? You know, it's created we kind of want to draw the coding community together, like closer, pulling them closer as opposed to pushing them away. So we're trying to offer more opportunities for the coding community to interact with one another, right? Because that's where amazing things happen. You know, that's where great ideas start, is when people have just decided to go to an event, have a chat with somebody, a great idea pops up, you know, a bunch of developers come together and go, oh, you know, like it could be a cool idea that we've got here or something. And so by fostering events that allow or facilitate that sort of thing to happen, even if it's just creating local relationships with one another, you know, a local company could be, like, oh man, you know, I'm needing somebody who's a specialist in, you know, Angular or something. And then if somebody's in the team's being like, oh, I've been to two of these coding events, you know, I know a bunch of Angular developers now, I can put in a phone call, right? Because Newcastle is still very much, it's sort of like who you know, right?
Oh, 100%.
And it's all done through referrals.
100%.
So it's a great way for the programming community to come out and build that network as well, right? So LinkedIn's obviously a place for people to build networks, but this is a very niche form of that where they can come together and really interact with one another and figure out what they're doing. So that's what Blast Furnace and hopefully the Coda Depot will become.
Yeah. And I'd say, sort of picking on LinkedIn a little bit here, I'd say that LinkedIn's probably not the best environment for developers.
No, I don't think so either. It's not the space.
No, no. It's a fairly generalist business realm. Obviously, you have the Nui Slack, and that's geared a fair bit more towards, I guess, the technologists of the region.
Yeah, yeah.
But the idea that you can narrow down further and really create a space that is dedicated to developers that are passionate about their craft and willing to learn and challenge themselves.
For sure.
I think there's definite value in that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we see value in it. Obviously, we're a little bit biased,
you would hope,
right?
So. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just this terrible idea that we're just going to launch out.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, it's good with the Nui Slack communities, right? Because we sort of threw out the line there and said, hey, guys, here's something that we've been thinking about. Would you be interested? Like, that's my version of what I recommended for individuals who are going out into the meetup community, right?
Yes.
Just throw out a line and see what reactions you get back and what the general consensus is, right? There's no need to commit to anything. I'm a big believer of proving my concept for validating the idea before you launch it out. That's probably, you know, that is elements of programming as well, I guess. I digress again.
Real good. As far as the Coda Depot, do you have any sort of inclination, any sort of understanding as to when the first iteration of that's going to be held, or is it still pretty well in the pipeline?
It's in the pipeline at the moment. No fixed dates. We've been chatting with some key players in the community, looking for some partnerships and things.
Mm.
You know, we've got the skills to get it going, but there's obvious requirements that we need. You know, we need to find the right place. That's probably the biggest thing that we're looking for right now is finding a cool sort of industrial feely place, right? Yeah. We've got a pretty clear vision of what we want.
Yeah.
And so we're having chats with people, finding out, you know, it's a good opportunity for other companies or individuals in the community to jump on and support the community as well. So we've sort of put out word out there, being like, here's our idea. If anybody wants to join in and do something great for Newcastle, come along and have a chat with us. You know, so we're still open to ideas as well. If anybody watches this is there anybody listening to this podcast? So
one of the two.
If anybody's out there and they have an idea about or if they have a vision or they can see potentially the value in this, just reach out and let us know what your ideas are, because we think that this could be a great thing for Newcastle,
for sure,
especially because we've still got that perception, right, of Newcastle being sort of the steel
steel and coal
sort of city, and we're seeing a pretty quick shift away from that and more into the tech community, right? So it's not just all in Sydney anymore. And there's a lot of amazing startups, there's a lot of amazing tech innovations happening in Newcastle. And so I think that if we keep fostering this community here, you know, we can build up the reputation and make Newcastle the place to be, right? If you're a programmer or a developer.
For sure. I've had no shortage of conversations with people based in Sydney and Melbourne, even over the course of the last 3 months, where they had zero prior knowledge of Newcastle. And realistically, why would they?
Yep.
We don't, you know, as a region, we don't signal boost the capability that we have here. They do a bit of research, you know, they go on our website, which is a decent resource for these sorts of things.
Yep.
You've got the LinkedIn community that, to an extent, does highlight a lot of the good work that happens here.
Yep.
I mean, I2N, those sorts of organizations. Really, once you sort of get under the shell, there's a lot there.
So much there.
There's a lot there.
So much there.
And I think over time, events like this, they're going to help sort of break down that shell and make the wider country aware of what Newcastle can do.
For sure. I could not agree more, because as you see this as well in your day-to-day, obviously, when you're recruiting tech individuals, right, you're like, geez, let's check out some of the talent that's on offer at the moment here coming out of the universities and things.
Yep.
Not even necessarily universities, you know, just individuals who've got a general interest and they program. We've met some pretty amazing programmers who have never stepped foot in a classroom.
No degree. They've just belted through free code.
And they're just pure wizards, right? They can do crazy things with it.
Yep.
And I think that's really, really awesome. And like, we love Newcastle. You love Newcastle. We want people to realize what is sort of here. And then, you know, even attract people to go, you know, Newcastle's kind of the place where I want to go and, you know, maybe even come to the Coda depot and compete, you know.
Why
people
not?
In the Hunter or come down from Sydney, for right? Sure. Chill out in Newcastle. It's an awesome place to be.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's hop off the Newcastle soapbox for a little bit.
Okay. Sorry, just declaring my love.
I will seriously be here for an hour
if
we keep on that subject.
Yep.
So let's stop while we're ahead.
Okay. Let's do it. Yeah.
So zooming out a bit, even from the events piece, I've always been pretty impressed with Safi and sort of the capacity within the organization. And the fingers in many pies that you do have.
Yes.
We mentioned Cypherlinks before.
Mm-hmm.
For someone listening, watching, whatever they're doing, who has no idea what Cypherlinks is, give us the rundown.
Cypherlinks is essentially a HR recruitment tool now. Originally, it was a way for us, again, another way to help the coding community. It's something that we're really passionate about.
Yep.
And so we developed this software that would essentially condense the projects that programmers have completed in the past into KPIs, and then it would be put onto a digital format.
Awesome.
So a lot of programmers were getting, you know, a lot of offers from recruiters, and they didn't really have the time to be able to go through all those application processes. So this was our way of going, hey guys, just use this. It will give the recruiter a pretty solid understanding of your skills. It was obviously free and still is free for programmers. But we saw a lot of value when we're talking to recruiters, you know, such as yourself, where they were like, hang on a second, this would actually be pretty cool for us, you know, to better understand what people in the coding community, what differentiates the right coder for this job, right? So how do I find the right fit? And then we developed this profile essentially then around recruiters to find out, okay, what are some of the KPIs that you're looking at? And would make it easier for you when recruiting programmers, you know? So it can be there's a little bit of a disconnect. I say a little bit, it's an underestimate. There's quite a large disconnect between recruiters and the tech community.
Yes.
And so we've tried to build Cypherlinks as that thing that bridges the gap. So it allows recruiters to get a pretty solid understanding of what the programmer skills are without having to go through all those projects. A lot of recruiters don't have background in programming, right?
Definitely
so it can
not.
Be very difficult to figure out who's the right programmer for a job, right? It can be really stressful as well and takes a long time. And so we're programmers, we're software developers. And so by condensing all of that information down, we know what some of the key points or KPIs to look at if we were hiring programmers, you know, for Safi. If we're looking out there, we'd want to see this, this, and this. And so we've just basically created software that enables that to happen.
Yes.
And we've started working on a new tool as well called the Local Sync. It's pretty new. And this essentially is a way for individuals to sync code and things that aren't, you know, stored on third-party platforms, which is normally where we get our data from. So
yes.
We're just taking the metadata. We're not touching the actual code. You know, we're compliant with the digital regulations and things. GDPR approved, which is the German restrictions.
That's the EU big song and dance that is very, very, very stringent.
Very stringent, absolutely. Yes. But we're compliant with that as well. So the idea, again, is just to be able to give programmers an opportunity to represent themselves well.
Yeah.
And then help recruiters at the same time bridge that gap.
Yeah. And the reality is that, I mean, you know, we're probably in a better position than most as tech recruiters because we have such a narrow specialization and because we've sort of surrounded ourselves with this community. The reality is in a lot of capital cities, tech recruiters, they don't necessarily have a technical background. They probably don't know the difference between Java and JavaScript.
Yes.
That's an example I always refer to. Yeah, if you go on Reddit, there's a subreddit called Recruiting Hell, and there's no shortage of painful interactions between devs and recruiters. So there's definitely a need there. There is friction. There's a lack of connectivity that needs to be resolved.
For sure,
100%.
And like on a technical level, essentially what Cypherlinks is doing is just taking metadata from third-party platforms, condensing it into those KPIs. But with the local sync tool, if people don't have code stored on third-party platforms or if it's stored on a computer or if they have multiple, you know, GitHub profiles, they would be able to upload their code through this local sync tool. And again, just the metadata is going across. We're not looking at the code. We're not storing the code. We're not touching the code. Just the metadata goes across. It's not viewable to anybody as well. Mm-hmm. So it's just taking out those key points, you know?
Awesome. And as far as Cypher Links, from the perspective of a developer, how do they get involved? How do they start utilizing the tool? Where do they find it?
Yeah, so they can find it on cypherlinks.com, essentially. So CYFERLINX, cypherlinks.com. So they can jump on there and create a free profile.
Yep.
The local sync tool is not ready yet.
Okay.
So it's still in development.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting pretty close to finishing it now, which is cool. So people can obviously convert the projects or link all of the third-party integrations that they currently have available. Mm-hmm. But if people are like, oh, you know, I've got stuff on multiple GitHubs because unfortunately Cypherlinks can't support multiple GitHub accounts.
Yep.
Or if they've got code stored on their computer or things, just hang on a little bit. You know, the local sync tool is coming out. You know, you can still create a profile. There's no harm in doing that, right? But once the local sync tool is out, then you'll be able to put everything onto that profile.
Mm.
So they can just jump on there and check it out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And obviously, we're gonna chuck a link to that in the description, into the show notes, that sort of stuff as well, to save people having to transcribe and hope that they get it right.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So Safi, generally speaking, if people want to find out a bit more about Safi, about Blast Furnace, about the Coder Depot, when that sort of kicks on, where do they find that information?
So they can find us. The best place to follow us is on LinkedIn at mm-hmm. Safi Engineering.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got obviously your website, safi.com.au.
Yep.
Type in Safi Engineering because there's a TV called Safi.
Oh, no.
So it may not come up on the first result if you just type in Safi, but Safi Engineering will come up. Yeah. And if you ever have, if anybody is out there and they have any, you know, software issues or integration issues, we're mm-hmm. always free there for a call.
Awesome.
To talk about feasibility. If we can't help them, we will make sure that we find somebody that can cater for their needs. We're just sort of wrapping up a few projects at the moment, and we'll have some engineers and devs ready to go again. So if anybody has any integration issues, just drop us a line through our email or through LinkedIn.
Cool.
And we'll figure out a solution.
Cool. And you personally, how do people find you?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, they can grab me on LinkedIn.
Cool.
I'm on LinkedIn as well, Liam Manning. And yeah, via the Safi page as well on the website. If you just contact the Safi link there, they'll be able to reach out to me.
Yep.
But LinkedIn, I'm on there all the time. So they can just drop me a line there. Always happy to have a chat.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Right. I think that pretty well covers it.
Sweet.
Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Nah, no, really
appreciate it. No, it was good. It's fun.
Thanks for listening, watching, whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Appreciate thanks, everybody. It. Really appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's great.
See you next time.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Nui Tech People Community Spotlight. As always, you can find the show notes on nuitechpeople.com.au. Be sure to keep abreast of what we're doing on our LinkedIn, our YouTube, our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram, all of it. Follow all of it. Thanks for listening.